coming from the nation India, you all know, you must have heard, it's the second most populous nation in the world, China being the first. And very soon India will be overtaking China. Back in India, around 80% of the population are Hindus. You must have heard of the Hindu religion. They worship over 3 million gods and believe in a cycle of rebirth. And there are around 28 provinces in India. It's a very complex country. We have more than 2,000 languages, 11 national languages. So there are cultural barriers. But it was Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, who came to India way back. He came to South India, and I belong from South India. And that's how Christianity had its root in India. Before the British came, the seeds were sown through the disciple of Jesus. And at present, around 80% are Hindus. And we have the largest number of Muslims in the world. The largest population of Muslims after Indonesia happens to be in India. But it's just the 13% of the population. Christians are very small. It's around 2% according to the official census. But the fact is, it's growing. It's growing at a very fast pace. But majority of the Christians, they don't register themselves as Christians because of the persecution. Persecution is on the rise. It has been a privilege for us also to be beaten up, thrown into prison, dragged before the judges. It's all a privilege. Persecution is always good for the mission fields. If you look at China also, I don't know how many of you know that the maximum population of Christians in the world happen to be Chinese. 25% of the population are Christians. And the key for that is persecution. Wherever there is persecution, the church grows. But where there is no persecution, we destroy ourselves. That's what is happening in the Western world. Because life has been comfortable. And it is God who is changing the circumstances. The atmosphere is changing. No matter how hard we pray, God is changing the ground realities. Because the key for the church to grow is, it grows when the climate is adverse. We all are standing on the blood of martyrs. How many have paid a heavy price for the faith? So God gave me the burden, and since 2000, we have been ministering in Philippines. We are basically missionaries who go around, do the work from the grassroots. We don't go to the churches and preach from the pulpits. We go one-to-one. And we have been ministering in Philippines since 1986, and the Lord opened doors behind in China, mainland China. We have house churches there. And there are many mission fields back in India. I'm not here to tell you the work that we are doing in India. The Lord is doing a great work. But in 2007, I came to US for the first time with my parents. My father was also a missionary. He went to be with the Lord this May 15th. And then we were going around the nation, and that's when we saw some things that really troubled us. I was in New Jersey. Went to Bridgewater, there we went to a Hindu temple. And what shocked us was, once upon a time it was a church. I don't know how you feel, but our hair stands up when we see the Hindus buying churches in the United States and converting them into temples. That's where the burden came in my heart. Lord, this nation, it has sent so many missionaries around the world, United States, and still today this nation is pumping so much dollars into the mission field. So much has gone, and this is payback time. Many of you see, we are interested to help the mission work in other lands. I just want you to tell you, this is high time you start investing money in this country. United States is the toughest mission field. This time when I was entering United States from Vancouver, Blaine immigration office there, the immigration officers, they told me, what do you do for a living in India? I said, I'm a minister. And you know what he says? If you do missions in US, you will be deported. I was wondering, am I entering China or am I entering United States of America? It was not the immigration officer talking, it was someone else talking. And I just want you to understand, this is high time we be aggressive in our faith. Why is it that United States, not only United States, Canada, you go to Europe, Islam is taking over. Why is that happening? It's easy for us to blame others. This is not the time for blame game. This is the time for me or each one of us to do what we are supposed to do. God is not interested in our money. I can stand here and tell you, show you some pictures about the mission field back home in India. I'm responsible for over 200 servants of God. A whole lot of pioneer mission fields. We work with our own hands. I can stand here and tell you my needs. But I just want you to understand, if I tell you my needs, it's a shame for my father. Your father and my father are the same. If he can take care of your needs, he can take care of my needs. I have to make sure that I uphold the dignity of my father. There is enough money in India. And the Lord is taking care of the work. It's hard to collect money from India and cross the Atlantic when this nation is turning away from God. It's very hard. And I'm surprised why the Lord wants me to come like this. It's hard. It's really hard. I don't want to come. But it's bound by the Spirit I come. Every time I leave the United States, I pray, Lord, it's my sincere prayer. Lord, just bring me if you want me to come. See, I haven't gone to a Bible college. I've just done my high school. That's the only qualification I have. But the Lord brings me every time. Because I know, deep down within, God loves United States of America. At times when you look at people, disappointment is setting in. We are worried what will be the judgment that the Supreme Court judges will give in the month of June. But I want you all to understand, whom are we serving? There is someone in our midst this morning. Have we understood who he is? We sing songs. We give our offerings. We take part in the Holy Communion. But when the circumstances changes, we start shaking in our boots. Can you just look back at the history of the states, United States? The forefather of this nation, they crossed the Atlantic not in search of gold or silver. They came here for the freedom of religion. When they were praying, when they stepped out of the boats, they were praying sincere prayers. And their tears have not dried up in the presence of the Almighty. Times have changed, but we are serving a God who has not changed. When you look back at the history of the world, if you look at the biblical history, God has been at work. He has not quit. But when we look at the circumstances, we get disappointed. Why? The only reason is, I have not understood him the way I am supposed to know him. Who is he? Why did he create us in the first place? Can you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1? Verse 26. Here it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This morning I just want you to focus on a simple thing. Here God says, let us make man. I just want you to come to the Garden of Eden and look at the scene. Creator of the universe, who just used the power of his word to create this huge universe, is taking dust in his hands. A question. Can't you create this man by the power of your word? Why are you taking all the trouble, taking your hands to mold someone? The angels are looking at him. What's this? And can you imagine the eager desire he has when he is taking that dust in his hand? He is worthy of worship. When he's taking that dust, does he know that this same dust will crucify me? Does he know that? He knows this same dust, to whose nostrils I'll be breathing life. He'll be nailing me on the cross. If I were God, I would have not taken that dust in my hands. But can you understand the depth of his love? How much he loved us, created us in his own image and likeness. Why? He has created each one with a purpose, each one of us. It's he who has designed us. I didn't choose the color of my skin, neither did you. It's he who did everything for us. He created man on the sixth day. He could have created him on the first day and said, Adam, what do you want? Poor Adam, he didn't know that he even needed a wife. Have we understood the one who has created us? He is here in our midst this morning. And what is he doing? It's he who brought all of us here. He brought me all the way from India. Brought us here. Thank God we are still alive, and this might be the last service of our life. When we are seated here, none of us know how much more time is left in our life. We are running out of time. He loves us so much. Why? He yearns for that relationship. When you look at the vastness of the universe, how vast this universe is. One small earth. And here Adam and Eve, they decide to do their own. They just pluck the fruit. And God could have just crushed that man and could have said, that's it. He could have just kicked this small earth into a black hole, and what would we do? He could have done it, and there was no one who could stand up for us. Adam was hiding, we were hiding behind the bush. The garment of glory gone. Pointing fingers at God. Blaming God. Saying, the wife you gave me. Can you imagine the way we provoked this Almighty? He could have just wiped us out. We would have not seen the sunshine. But can you imagine the yearning he has? He drove out man. But then he gives him a hope. The seed of the woman shall come. What a great privilege we have. Have we understood the price he paid to bring us here this morning? We didn't pay anything. Many a times we put some money in the offering box. I want you to be careful every time you put some money. If he is not pleased with my life, he doesn't need my dollars. He is not after my money.
All the silver and gold is His. It's He who decided how much dollars I'll get. We can't play with God by giving some dollars. He doesn't want our dollars. He's interested in my life. Worship is not coming to the church and singing some songs. It's the way I walk. If I can't walk the way I'm supposed to walk, then what's the point in coming to the church and singing some songs? I didn't write those songs that I am singing. I am singing those songs someone else wrote. He is interested in my walk. Thank God He has given us one more chance to come in His presence. Can I understand how precious my life is? He said, seed of the woman shall come. Thank God. You know, we celebrate Christmas. It's the craziest of all celebrations. You know, this book doesn't say that. Why is the Bible silent concerning Christmas? From where did we get this December 25th? Who cooked up this date? The Bible is silent. According to the Spirit of God, that day is not at all important. That's the reason it's not mentioned here. But for us, that's the most important. Why is December 25th not mentioned in the Bible? He is the only one who doesn't have a date of birth. He is the eternal one. We all have a date of birth. He is the eternal one. He came down. He is not born. He came down in the form of man. That's the reason December 25 is not mentioned. But can you imagine, can you look at the sight in Bethlehem? Who is He in the manger? We took part in the Holy Communion. Can you understand how serious that thing is? The scripture warns us, judge yourself. If I don't judge myself, I'll bring condemnation upon myself. That's what the scripture says. It's not a joke. He came down not to give us some religion. There was no need for Him to come down. He left His glory lying in the Bethlehem. Who is that? He's the same one who took dust in His hands. He's the same one. He's the same one who came down on Mount Sinai. He was the one who appeared before Moses in the burning bush, lying in the manger. The other day I was sharing with the other folks. At the age of 12, He is in the temple. 3 days, questions. And poor teachers, they have no clue that the one sitting before them is the one who was inside the Most Holy. He's not someone else. He's the same one who was inside the Most Holy place. Sitting behind those curtains, He's standing outside. He's the one who gave those commandments in the hands of Moses. Walking as a man. Why? Worked as a carpenter. After the service, if someone tells me the food is there, someone says you'll have to do the dishes, I'll get insulted. I'll say I didn't come all the way from India to wash dishes here. But I'm a man like you. What's the harm if I do the dishes? I just want you to compare. Creator of the universe walked as man. There was no need for Him. Worked as a carpenter. And we hammered Him on the cross. And can you look at the sight? When He is being whipped, what is Michael saying? What are the cherubim saying? What are the other angelic beings? They are looking at that sight. Whom are we crucifying? The one whom they worship. The seraphims, when they worship, they cover their face, their feet, and they fly. Holy, holy, holy. If someone of them had been given an order, they would have wiped out this earth. Just one angel was enough. When He's hanging on the cross, we said, if you are the Son of God, come down. Thank God He didn't come. We wouldn't have been here. Can you understand the depth of His love? why America is turning away from God. Today, we do lip service. We have formalities. We are not interested in that relationship. He is interested in that relationship with us. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 15. Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 15. It says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You know how powerful that scripture is. Creator of the universe. He has done so much for us. And he says, I have called you. Not servants, but friends. Can you imagine the high calling we have? The privilege each one of us has this morning. But am I eager to come closer to Him? Paul says, all that was profitable to me, I count it as loss. That I may know Him more. But if you look at the people around the world today, running after prosperity. Every prayer, I want blessing, blessing, blessing. How much? When 95% of the world doesn't have any of their basic needs being met, He has given us more than what we want. Is it true? Given us more than what we want, and still am I crying for more blessings? What blessing do I want? We have to understand it's He who gives, and He has every right to take it away also. Why am I following Christ? That's the question this morning. I don't know how many of you know the incident. John chapter 1, verse 38. The first time Jesus, the disciples and Jesus, they talk. John chapter 1. 35 to 38, here we read. Again the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seeketh ye? Seek ye. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? This is the first instance where the disciples and Jesus are talking. Usually we think that they were on the boat and Jesus just went and told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's something that happened later on. But this is the first instance. John is introducing his disciples to Jesus. Or in other words, the friend of the bridegroom is introducing the bride. Friend of the bridegroom says, behold the Lamb. And what does the bride do? She is not being pushed. She follows. But you know the question that the bridegroom is asking. What seek ye? He's the same one today, this morning, in our midst. And He is asking each one of us, why are you following me? Doesn't He know? He's the same one who came to the Garden of Eden, and then He knew Adam and Eve were hiding behind the bush. And you know what He says? Adam, where are you? Why? Doesn't He know? Adam thinks that he is smart. He can hide. And I want you to say where you are hiding. I know where you are. He asked Cain, where is your brother? Doesn't he know? And he thinks he is smart. He says, am I my brother's keeper? He knows. The same one is asking you and me, why are you following me? Am I following him just for some blessings? Or have I understood who he is? If I know how sweet He is, if I understand how precious He is, then my only desire will be to know Him more. Nothing else. I am not concerned about my job or my family or anything. My only concern is to know Him more. We are standing on the blood of martyrs. Why did they die for the faith? They loved Him so much. The question is, this morning, where is my love? We have faith in God. Yes, I say I trust God. But the question is, do you have that relationship? Am I sensing the presence of the Lord? Many a times we think God is with me. We are thinking. But the question is, am I sensing His presence? If I am sensing His presence, my walk will change. My talk will change. My dealings with others will change, because the one walking with me is not Obama. He happens to be the creator of the universe. When I sense His presence, others can see the presence of the Almighty with me. God doesn't need a huge army to change the United States of America, just one. That's what He did in the history of the world. Look at Israel. There was one Elijah. There was one John the Baptist. There was one Moses. He doesn't need 10. Just one is enough to shake this nation upside down. And God will bring His persons. He is preparing them. When it is the darkest, that's when He works. That's what He did in the time of Elijah. There was a king who was provoking God. Obama said, America is not a Christian country. He might be thinking. Now there are people trying to remove, in God we trust, from the dollar. The people are worried what the Supreme Court judges will give, the judgment. But I just want you to be relaxed. There's someone on the throne. It's not the Supreme Court judges or the Democrats or the Republicans who are going to decide about this country. There's someone on the throne who He decides. And what He decides, it will be done. We are up against the creator of the universe. He has not forsaken. But He's looking for some. He's looking for one who wants to know Him more. Look at all that He has done in our life. Are we worthy for all those blessings? What all He has done. The other day I was asking people also there back in Camp Valley, does God hear all our prayers? Yes or no? But the problem is, He has not answered all our prayers. That's where we get disappointed. But if you look at your life, has He done things in your life that you never ever prayed for? That's how faithful He is. That's how faithful He is. Just look back at the ways He has been leading you. He has loved us so much. And what does He want in return? Not some dollars. Not some songs. He wants me to come closer to Him. He wants me to sense His presence. We read in John 15, He says, I have called you friends. Creator of the universe wants me to be His friend. Can you look at the expectation He has? But then when I am just interested in His blessings, when I am just interested to do some lip service, you know how much it hurts. The nails that the Romans nailed Him didn't pain that much, but it pains when I am just doing some lip service. See, when you get onto the airplane, that's the usual illustration I use, when you get onto the plane, you see the air hostesses, they smile at us. Do they mean it? No, they don't mean. They are paid to smile. That's where it hurts God. We too do the same. The reason I'm reading the Bible, Because I have to read. And if you look at our own prayers, am I not praying the same prayer for ages? The words haven't changed. Is there anyone who is interested to hear His voice? Many times it's we who do all the talking. But you have to understand, as we grow up in the Lord, as we feed on this word, as I come closer to Him, my talking goes down and I want Him to talk. What will I talk to the one who has created this universe? He doesn't need any counselors. But the problem is every time we end up being counselors, tell Him what He's supposed to do. Bless my family, because poor God, He doesn't know. I have to tell Him. He has grown old. He has memory problems. I have to remind Him the promises. These promises are not there to remind Him. They are there for us. He remembers those promises. Why did He give those promises? So that I can come closer to Him. Be assured. Thank God we are not there in the Old Testament times. Just imagine if Abraham and Moses, they come here for this service. They'll be shocked. They'll say, what are you doing here? We'll say, this is Sunday service. What do you do in the service? We sing songs. They have no clue what is Holy Communion. They could never imagine. Abraham, when he was taking the knife upon his son, he could never imagine in his wildest dreams that the one who has called him will one day offer his own son. Look at the privilege we have. We have a Bible. Thank God for this book. You don't pay $5,000 for this. Many of us, we get it free. In China, if you come, there are people that they are eager for a Bible. I have seen people. If you give them a Bible, they'll open the bindings and pass on the sheets. And people take these papers back home and they write it in their notebooks. And the next week they pass the sheets to others. Their Bible is the notebook that they have written with their own hands. And you'll come across so many people who know the New Testament by heart. They don't have a Bible. There are around 6,000 languages around the world. My wife happens to be a Bible translator. You know how hard it is to translate the Bible. Full Bible is only available in around 500 languages. Wycliffe Bible translators are doing work in around 2,000 languages. There are still 4,000 languages in which no work has yet started. Can you thank God you have a Bible in a language that you can understand? Why did He give this book? Look at the privileges we have. You have a pastor. You have a church building. You have elders. But still it is so hard for us to walk. There are so many people praying for us. Still it's hard. A question, how did the people in the Old Testament walk? They didn't have pastors. When Joseph is in the pit, who is praying for him? Is there anyone praying? When he is in Egypt, is there anyone backing him up with prayers? Any prayer support? There was no one to pray for them. There were no Bible classes. He is not sitting in the prison reading a Bible. We have a Bible, we have pastors, we have so many privileges, but still it is so hard. So hard. Why is it hard? Simple reason, I don't want to walk. If I have a desire to walk, I can walk. If they could walk, why is it hard for me to walk? I have not yet understood the depth of His love. If I understand how much He loves me, just like Paul will start saying, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Let death come. Let cancer come. Many times when we have health issues, we get worried. That's what's happening. We get worried. Worry comes in so quickly. Can I stand on the faith? How true this word is? When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, have I not become the temple of the living God? We come to India. See, India is a nation. 3 million gods. And they believe in rebirths. Thank God He opened my mind. I am not worshipping before stones or any other idols. I have become the temple of the living God. Why is He with me? Now when you step out of this church and go home, He is there with you. When we are seated here, can you imagine the hosts of angels around us? Why? Not because we are holy. It's because their boss is here. Wherever He is, they will be. That's the reason when I am driving my car, or when I am flying, let the devil do anything, it doesn't bother me because my Creator is with me. Who can touch me? He said, I'll never forsake you. Yes, He has taken us from many ups and downs, not to destroy us. And many a times we get frightened. And we like everyone to pray and rebuke the devil, even if the devil is not there. Because we like it. We put all the blame on the devil. Why am I frightened of the devil when there is someone with me who is so great? The reason fear is coming is He is not with me. Or I am not sensing His presence. I am far away from me. But if you sense His presence, let anything happen. Let death come. You will say, oh death, where is thy sting? That's Christianity. Having that close relationship with Him. This morning, how many are there who are interested? Lord, I want to know You more. You have been so good to me. You have not answered all my prayers. Can we thank God for not answering our prayers? It's hard, but thank God. He loves me more than I love myself. He knows how precious I am. He has purchased me by His own precious blood. United States of America is waiting for one person who knows who his Creator is. One Elijah, he shook Israel. One Moses, standing before the Red Sea, you know, 3 million are mad against one man. 3 million! Now suppose this church turns against the pastor. Pastor, it will be hard, right? It's not 3 million. But can you imagine the sight? One stammerer standing before the Red Sea, 3 million there, mad at him, and his blood pressure is not going up. I lose my job and I have hypertension. What's that? The doctor says anything and I'm ready to believe what? Anything that the doctor says. That one man standing there and he says, stand still. Fear not. See the salvation of God. How did Moses get the boldness to say that? He has seen Him. He is not walking on hearsay. He has personally seen. Have we heard His voice personally? He is here. He wants to talk to each one of us. He is our Father. He is my Father. He yearns for that relationship. He is coming very soon. The bridegroom is coming for the bride. We are running out of time. The coming of the Lord is so near. How much He loves. I have to stand before Him and give an account. Just don't be worried what the Supreme Court judges are saying. Just don't be worried. My main concern should be, am I sensing His presence? He is in charge. He'll make sure that His will is done. When they are saying all those crazy stuff, He sits there and He laughs. That's what the Bible says. But we are tensed up. When the Creator is laughing, we are tensed up. The problem is, this creation has a Creator. I need to come closer to Him. Can we close our eyes and bow our head? Analyze our own life. Am I sensing His presence? You have been coming to church for a long time. You have been reading the Bible for a long time. You have been giving your offerings for a long time. Do you sense His presence? Or are you thinking, am I growing closer to Him? Have I understood the depth of His love? How much He loves us. How much He loves us. We are the temple of the living God. Can we open our mouth and can we talk to Him? Thank you, Jesus. Earlier we were singing some songs. The instruments were being played. But this is the time for us to talk to Him. After some time, we are going to step out of this church. And we don't know, we might never see each other again. But thank God for the hope that we have. Our Lord is coming very soon. Is He pleased with my life? Just as He asked Adam, is He asking me, where are you? He's asking the disciples, what seek ye? The same way He's asking you and me, why are you following me? Am I following Him for some blessings? Or have I understood the depth of His love? Do I love Him from the bottom of my heart? That's all that He yearns from us, that relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Samuel, stay up here for one moment. The boss is here.
Amen. Jesus.
The whole time Brother Samuel was speaking this morning, I felt like my heart was on fire. The boss is here, man. And you'll leave here and you'll go do some yard work, or you'll get in the routine of life. You'll get back to your kids and get irritated. And that fire will start to die a little bit. But I want you right now to take advantage of this. If you feel this burning in your heart and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, then right now is the day of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You can come up here and pray with Brother Samuel. He'll lay hands on you. We will pray with you. Don't let this opportunity pass, man. I'm telling you, God has sent this man a long way to speak to you. Yes. Understand the simple gospel that He's laid out simply. God loves you more than you'll ever know. And we Americans, we want to do things, we want to buy things. And God's saying right now, be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Know it. For those of you Christians, if your heart is burning like mine, ask God right now, what would you have me do? How can I know you more? Help me, Father. May your Spirit move within me. I want to know you more. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. I'm sick of the devil on my tail. I don't want to be afraid. Brother Samuel right now. Samuel, would you please ask God to bless this church? And I know God is looking for one person, but I think there's 150 people in here. 150 Moses that God's going to use. So would you pray for this church?
Yeah, sure. Father, we praise you and thank you for this privilege you have given us to come into your presence. We are not worthy, O Lord. There are so many shortcomings in our lives. But thank you for your faithfulness. You could have forsaken us a long time back. We have irritated you on so many times. We have murmured. We have grumbled. But thank you for your faithfulness. I commit each one of us who are here. Lord, we believe it is you who has brought all of us here together. You have seen us before you laid the foundations of this world. You have foreknown us. Thank you for your precious word. You have called us to be friends, not servants. Thank you for the high calling you have given us. But I pray, Lord, help each one of us to understand the preciousness of this relationship, Lord. We are here for a few days, and there is an eternity waiting for us. Open our understanding so that we can know you more closely, O Lord. Lord, we know that you will never forsake. But many a times we stagger, we stumble. Strengthen our faith, O Lord. Help us to feed on your word. Help us to be strong. Lord, we just pray, have thine own way, Lord, in our life. Thou art the potter. We are just the clay. Mold each one of us into a vessel for your glory. Let no one see us, but anyone who sees us may see you only. If we live, Lord, we live for you. Thank you for this opportunity. I commit this congregation, this church. May each one of us feel your presence. Powers of darkness are trying to hinder. But thank you, Lord, you are there with us. You will never leave us. Strengthen each one to be a soldier of the cross. Help each one to put on his armor so that as he steps out, walks around, may the presence of God be felt in this whole area, O Lord. Just like your Shekinah was there in the tabernacle, Lord, we just pray that your presence may be there upon each one of us. And the powers of darkness may flee seeing your presence, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege. In Jesus' most holy name we pray.